Advaryuna.
Advaryuna.
With the Yajurveda.
With the Yajurveda.
Atta. Taking. Havisha. With clarified butter. Yajamanaha. King Daksha. Vishampate. Ovidura. Diya. In meditation. Vishuddhiya. Sanctified. Dadyao. Offered. Tata. Immediately. Pradduhu. Manifest. Abhut. Became. Hareki. Hare the Lord. Translation. The great sage Maitreya said to Vidura, "My dear Vidura, as soon as King Daksha offered the clarified butter with Yajurveda mantras and sanctified meditations, Lord Vishnu appeared there in his original form as Narayan." You can repeat. The great sage Maitreya said to Vidura, "My dear Vidura, as soon as King Daksha offered the clarified butter with the Yajurveda mantras
in sanctified meditation,
Lord Vishnu appeared there
in his original form as Narayan."
So purport by Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Lord Vishnu is all-pervading. Any devotee who, in sanctified meditation, following the regulated principles, chants the required mantras in service, and in a devotional mood, can see Vishnu. It is said in the Brahma Sangita that a devotee whose eyes are anointed with the ointment of love of Godhead can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead always within his heart. Lord Chamashundra is so kind to his devotee. Okay? So, Advaryunata Havisha Yajamano Vishampate Dhyavishudhya Dhyo Tata Pradura Buddharahi. So, Omagana Timilanda Shah Gananjana Shalakya Chakshudan Miditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, it's an interesting statement by Srila Prabhupada in this purport. He says, any devotee who, in sanctified meditation, following the regulated principles, chants the required mantras in service and in a devotional mood, can see Vishnu. That's pretty interesting. So let's analyze that particular statement of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. He says, any devotee. That means anyone, basically. And so the connecting words here, I mean, if you study logic, there's connecting words like and, or, nor, etc., like that. So this is not or connecting words or connections, that you have a choice. You can either follow the regulated principles, or you can chant the required mantras, or you can have devotion. This is the and connecting word. Even though the word and is not there, it's understood to be there in between each part of the sentence. So and means each of those requisites must be met. That's what and means. Or would mean any of the requisites could be met, and then you'll see Vishnu. But here's the recipe for devotional success. If we meet all of those requisites, if, then, we're talking about logic, then we will see Krishna. That's interesting. And anyway, so that's the logical expression here. So let's analyze these requisites. Of course, the first statement here is any devotee. That means it's open for all of us. In other words, as Krishna says in the Gita, Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dvesho stinapriyaha. He doesn't say, I have some special devotees. You know, I like him. Him not so much. Her not at all. You know, there's everyone. Sama Bhuteshu. So Sama Bhuteshu means equal to every. I'm equal to everyone. And he says, Name Dvesho Stina Priyaha. That I don't have any enemies. Nor do I have any Priyas, you know, special people who are especially dear to me. So of course then you may think, what? I just read about Krishna's enemies in the Mahabharata. You know, I just read about Duryodhana, read about Kamsa. You know, you're just talking about the appearance of Krishna. There's Kamsa, you know, what is this, you know? First of all, I think there's many ways to explain that. First of all, Krishna doesn't actually consider them enemies. He considers them recipients of mercy, and they get mercy in a different way. Like Kamsa got mercy by being killed. Putana got mercy by being killed. So it's not that Krishna's thinking, this person is my enemy. The only time you actually think someone is your enemy is you think someone can interfere with your sense gratification. That's the only time you have enemies interfere with your sense gratification or interfere with some plan that you have in life. But guess what? Nobody can interfere with any plans we have in life, huh? Except for Krishna. And no one can interfere with any plans Krishna has, because Krishna is Aptakama, which means whatever he desires happens. So no one can interfere with anything. You know, Krishna wants it. You could pick at him all your life, you know, you could go in front of him with a protest, you know, God unfair to demons. But Krishna wants it, it's going to happen. And also as far as yourself, nobody could really interfere with anything you want except for, you know, Krishna, yourself, you know, either your karma or Krishna directly. So there are no real enemies except for the things that interfere, like lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, etc., etc., the anarthas. So anyway, so Krishna says in the Gita, you know, I have no special enemies. You know, I may kill people, but, you know, that's life. Or that's death. Anyway, so I may kill people, but that's my mercy. And that, in the Bhagavatam, we have this story that the Lord is being accused of being partial. He's not partial. He's not partial. And then also Krishna's statement in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, what? Yeyata mam prabhajante tam sataiva bhajamayaham mama vartmana vartante manushaparta sarvashah. He says, you know, everybody follows my path. Of course, the Mayavadis take that verse in a different way. They say everybody's, no matter what you do, yata matatupat, you're going to get the same thing. I was in Los Angeles and Prabhupada was giving a class, started the class basically, reciting this statement, yata matatupat, I'm okay, you're okay. There was actually a book written in English called Transactional Analysis or something like that, I'm okay, you're okay. Prabhupada said, we say, I'm okay, you're not okay. You were probably there for that class, Lojan, when Prabhupada said that, right? Yeah, it was really, I mean, everyone was laughing, yeah. Prabhupada said, we say, I'm okay, you're not okay. So, of course, you have to be careful where you say it. You know, people will think you're really biased. But Prabhupada was making that statement. So therefore, you know, the Mayavadis take the statement, yayatam mam prajante tam sataiva bhajamyaham, that everybody, no matter what you do, you're on the same path. But then we can reply to that, that you may be on the same path, but people are going in different directions on the same path, you know. You know, there's one road that goes to Florida from here. Actually, several roads. But anyway, let's say you say 95. So there may be many people on 95, but there's two directions on 95, right? At least as far as I checked it out, you know. But, and also, in the spiritual path, there's not only two directions, there's also two directions. You can either go to hell, you can take birth as an animal. I mean, if you're going in the opposite direction. Or if you're going towards the spiritual path, you can Brahmaiti, Paramatmaiti, Bhagwaniti, Sabhitaiti. You can either merge into the Brahman, you can be a Paramatma Yogi, you can be a Bhagwan, or in different varieties of Bhagavan. You can be absorbed in Narayan, you can be absorbed in Lord Nrsingadev, you can be absorbed in Krishna and Dwarka, you can be absorbed in Krishna and Vrindavan. I mean, there's so many varieties. So you got a path. It's interesting, Krishna's path is just like a crossroads with, you know, thousands of different roads coming into the cross. You understand what I mean? Like if you have a crossroad, usually just four roads, you know, like that. But in the path, everybody's on some path, Krishna's path. Everybody's on Krishna's path. Everybody is serving Krishna too, which is interesting. Either directly or indirectly, either forced or voluntarily, or those are the two means. Or you're going to the Brahma Jyoti. I guess in the Brahma Jyoti, you're not serving Krishna. So, oh yes, you are. You're lighting up Krishna's halo. You understand the Brahma Jyoti? You can see Krishna's effulgence. That's actually the souls who are just like twinkle, twinkle, little soul. How I wonder what you are. Up upon the Brahma Jyoti, so bright, will you light this brilliant night? Anyway, so everyone's serving Krishna. So everyone's serving Krishna. Yeah, that's true. Everyone's on the same path. Yes. But people going in different directions on that path. You know, millions of different directions. Bahu shaktas tu anantascha, as Krishna says in the Gita, second chapter. So Krishna's reciprocating. That's the point. As you surrender to me, I reward you accordingly. So Krishna's reciprocating. So anyway, Krishna's equal. That's the whole point. Krishna doesn't have any special personalities or people that he likes especially. There's people who like Krishna, and then Krishna reciprocates with them too. In other words, you can become as dear to Krishna as any of the devotees you read about, except for Radharani, of course, obviously, or you know the Shaktis like that. But it just depends on your devotion. You know, it's open. In other words, Krishna is an equal opportunity God. You understand? He's equal. Sama, that means he's equal. Samadarshi, he's equal. So, you can't, in other words, no excuses for you. That, you know, just eliminates all the excuses. You know, he's a good devotee. It's easy for you to say that, Maharaj, because, you know, you're surrendered to Krishna. You know, we have all these excuses. You know, it's easy. Don't get heavy with us, Maharaj. You know, you shouldn't preach so heavy. Prabhupada, you shouldn't preach so heavy because, you know, you don't know. I'm a conditioned soul. You know, that's a good excuse. That's a good excuse we use all the time, you know. The guru says, you know, oh, why'd you do that, you rascal? And then you say, I'm a conditioned soul. What do you expect? Well, the point is, you're not taking responsibility for what you are. You know, you can take you should take responsibility. I mean, whatever state of devotion you're in, you're the one who's got the credit or to blame for that particular state, devotion or lack of devotion. So that's the first statement Prabhupada makes here. He says, any devotee. So that's open to everybody, okay? And then he says, next one is, it's interesting, Prabhupada's one sentence here, you can actually give a whole class on, actually millions of classes. In sanctified meditation. What is the word sanctified meditation? Of course, meditation we know, jhana in Sanskrit, which means to, you know, concentrate on something, to be absorbed in something. Jhana means more absorption than samadhi. Samadhi means complete absorption. But sanctified basically means not anyabhi lashita shunyam. You know, no dirty thing. Sanctified means no dirty things. Like if I say this house is sanctified, that means, you know, there's not a lot of bugs crawling around and, impure things going on. There's no subtle or gross things. There's no, like, body playing Bollywood music in the house, you know, or something like that, or rock and roll music, or, it means that nothing bad is going. Sanctified means nothing's bad. It's sanctified. Sanctified. Like, we have sanctuary, which comes from the same word. You know, sanctuary, sanctified. There must be other words. I can't think of them right now. But anyway, So sanctified means we just have to really kick out everything else. Anyabhi lashatan chinnam. Jnana karma navratam. What does that mean? Jnana karma means desire for gross or subtle sense gratification. Anavratam, it's free of those things. Anyabhi, of dirty things. Just like the example given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is the Gundicha Marjana story, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates are cleaning the Gundicha temple to make it a sanctified place. See, that word is used too in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, so that the Krishna can sit there. Because if you want to meditate on Krishna, you want Krishna to be present, you've got to give him a clean place. It's like, you know, every morning when I take care of my deity, it's like, you know, clean the altar and everything like that, and I sanctify it. You understand? Uh-oh. Sorry about that. I have to forget not to give Italian classes. Italian means you use your hands to speak, rather. Like, if you've ever been in Italy, I mean, every class is like, what? Mamma mia! Krishna, God. Anyway, so, so read about Lord Chaitanya and his associates. Like, they really took every little speck of dirt. They cleansed the temple twice. And Lord Chaitanya would chastise people who weren't attentive. Chastise them in a sarcastic way, like, you have done a nice job. And the person embarrassed. Uh-oh, he knows that I've been sweeping the dirt under the rug, you know, or something like that. So, and then the person got embarrassed, worked hard, and they got prizes, you know, the person who cleaned the most. So that story, you know, really illustrates what sanctification is, you know, really working and getting, so Krishna can sit in a clean place. It's just like if you're a respectable person coming, you clean your house before they come, right? You know, I remember my mother when I was young, that every time we would have guests coming over, she would spend a long time just cleaning the house, you know, just like taking the vacuum cleaner and shampooing the rugs, because rugs never get clean anyway, so. But she was shampooing the rugs and you're scrubbing and putting everything, making everything, because the guests would come. So Krishna comes, you have to make it sanctified, a sanctified place. What is a sanctified place? The heart. And we sanctify that by the chanting, of course, Cheto Darpana Majanam. That's the significance of that statement, you know, cleanses the heart, sanctifies the heart. So we sanctify the heart, and then also we keep ourselves from thinking of things. You know, it's one thing to cleanse the heart, but you actually have to be very careful that other things don't enter. You don't start meditating on anything that would be impure, do anything that creates or brings in impurity. It's very dangerous. Just like a Jamil, he had, you know, he's pretty pure, but as soon as he looked at the prostitute and her boyfriend embracing, and with Shudra embracing, then immediately impurity entered his consciousness, and he fell down from devotional service. I mean, he actually had a nice wife, he had a nice facility, everything was pure in his life, and then, so you have to be careful. So that's sanctified. So meditation means, you know, we have to find some way, Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayo. We have to find some way to fix our mind on Krishna. And we all have different methods according to our psychophysical nature. Someone may do a deity worship. Someone may be engaged in gardening. Someone may be engaged in studying. Someone may be engaged in business and giving the results to Krishna. Prabhupada said someone who's engaged in the factory and giving the results to Krishna, he's as good as a renunciate. So there has to be some way according to it. That's Varnashram. I've got to be careful. Some way according to our psychophysical nature that we can engage or fix our mind on Krishna. And, you know, or reading, of course, for everyone, the process of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, remembering Krishna, hearing and chanting about Krishna is there. But as we hear and chant, it can't be done ritualistically, it has to be done with putting our full attention to the hearing and chant. In other words, we have to be shru shru shru, you know, not that verse. Oh, yeah. Mantra Murti Samurti come. We have to actually have to involve all of our senses in the chanting. I know that chanting is just for the ears, but actually, if you really absorb yourself in the chanting, all the senses become enlivened and are absorbed in the chanting. In other words, your mind, your tongue, you know, and of course the sense of smell and hearing, everything becomes absorbed in Krishna by the chanting, because Krishna is non-different than his holy name. But, you know, one's imagination. Just like, you know, I was thinking about this last night, and I was thinking about, you know, because I have these Govardhan Shilas, so I take care of the Govardhan Shilas. So I was thinking about the Govardhan Shilas, you know, so what do I think about the Govardhan Shilas? One thought came to my mind while I was taking care of the Govardhan Shilas. I said, hey, these Govardhan Shilas were there, and they saw all of Krishna's pastimes dancing with the gopis 5,000 years ago. You know, the trees may or have not been there, but the rocks at Govardhan actually were there. You understand? So they were actually there. You know, Krishna, just like in Radharani, passed by them and they were watching the whole thing. Pretty cool. So you think like that. So different thoughts come to the mind, and that helps meditation. Understand? Meditation means basically, you know, picturing something in the mind. It doesn't mean like the, like we learned before we joined the movement, that you just like stare at a candle until you become self-realized or make the mind blank or void. And sometimes people come to the movement, isn't it? And they see us chanting and they ask, what do they ask? Do you meditate? You ever had that expression? You know, a question asked of you? They come to the movement, do you meditate? And nowadays when they ask the question, I have to think for a while what they mean by that meditation. They actually mean making the mind blank, or just sitting there, you know. Or staring. You know, I did that before I joined the movement. I would stare at a candle. At a candle, and I stared at it, you know, for hours. And all it did, you know, is just like fix the image of the candle in my mind, which didn't help me advance in Krishna consciousness. But meditation means practical, you know, practical. Or even meditation on your service. You know, you can meditate, like, what am I going to do? I'm going to build a temple, you know, meditate how to do it. Shouldn't be doing that. Of course, shouldn't do that meditation while you're chanting rounds, but anyway. But, you know, you meditate on doing something, like making a deity of Prabhupada, you meditate on it, you know. Or there's different things we can meditate on according to our nature. It's real cool. Krishna's pastimes, how we're going to sew the clothes for the deities. What millions of things. Krishna's given us so many ways to meditate. Anyway, so here we go. In sanctified meditation, I may not get through this whole statement. And the next one's pretty easy. Following the regulated principles. I don't think we need to give an explanation for that. Because regulated principles are actually more, we hate to inform you, more than just the, you know, the four regulated principles. There's other regulated principles, you know, rising early, that's a regulated principle. I mean, there's negative regular principles and positive, just like the first two practices of Ashtanga Yoga. What? Oh, the first two practices of, I get it. I'll just be closer. The first two practices of Ashtanga Yoga are Yam and Niyam. These are regulated practices, principles. Yam means things you're restricted from, like no meat, fish, or eggs, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. No chocolate, I'm sorry. No, we're not saying that. You know, you can become Krishna conscious if you want to eat chocolate anyway. We're not going to get heavy with you. So, then there's a positive. You know, positive probably gives them. You know, rising early. Hey, that's something new, isn't it? Never heard of that one before. No, but that's also a regulated principle. Huh? Rising early, you know, chanting your rounds, avoiding the offenses. I mean, you got a whole bunch of regulated principles you never thought before were regulated principles. Like, usually someone asks you, do you follow the regular principles? You think, what are the four, right? But that's just a negative. We got a whole lot more. Like, you know, like fasting on Janmashtami, you know, like that, offering your food to Krishna. You know, codicy, there's a regulated principle. I mean, we don't want to get too heavy about the regulated principle. Just like yesterday, I was reading some email exchanges someone was having about fasting on Janmashtami. And they were, in the email exchange, I was thinking, oh my God, I probably joined the wrong movement. They were talking about that you actually not supposed to break your fast at midnight, They were going into all the ancient Vedas and saying, you know, and saying that you have to actually wait until the Rohini star is no longer present. I don't know, have you read those emails? You probably read, no. Anyone here read those? No. Yeah, and then say, but actually we just calculated the Rohini star is not present until after Prabhupada's appearance is, you know, goes away after Prabhupada's appearance day, so you have to fast until, you know, probably Saturday. Today you can break your fast. So, and it says in this Vedic literature that if you do it before then, you're going to hell, you're going to have leprosy all over your body, you know. So, there's all this fear, you know. So basically, you know, Prabhupada showed us how to apply the rules and regulations, or which rules and regulations. Because Prabhupada said if you knew them all, you'd faint. I mean, if you read the Hari Bhakti Vilas, you'd probably faint. You can't eat carrots, according to the Hari Bhakti Vilas, and, you know, all sorts of other things. You know, Prabhupada showed us what we can do. He's our acharya. You know, Prabhupada had carrots, and we like carrots, too. Good for the eyes. And, this is an important point about regulated principles. We follow the ones that Prabhupada gave us. Prabhupada's our acharya. We don't have to just dive into the Vedic literatures and find all these different, you know, things that just bewilder the mind, just like drive you bananas. And they'll keep you from thinking of Krishna. They'll actually keep you from thinking of Krishna. Because the whole point, the first rule in regulation, of course, is to always think of Krishna. Second rule is never to forget Krishna. So Prabhupada has actually given us the recipe. He's the cook, you know, the cook that's given us the recipe how to do that. Not that you go to any cook. You know, it's just like, you know, sometimes people approach the spiritual master and the spiritual master says something, they said, oh, I'd like to get a second opinion or a third opinion. I mean, was it? Someone wrote to me, he said, one of my disciples wrote to me, he said, can I have a Shiksha Guru? And I said, yeah, sure. Pick anyone, but you got to follow what they say. You can't just go, if that Shiksha Guru doesn't agree, because the person gave me a whole list. He said, I like this person, this person, this person. I said, that's fine. You can like everybody, and you can accept a Shiksha Guru, but whatever they say, don't think, well, now I got another Shiksha Guru to go to counteract or, you know, to give me a different opinion. Whoops. So anyway, so the regulated principles means given what by Prabhupada. All right. Chants the required mantras. That's the next statement. Chants the required mantras. Required mantras means the mantras given in disciplic succession. Not the mantras you just happen to pick up because you thought they were cool mantras. That means just like Narada Muni. Dhruva Maharaj. She was given Om Namo Narayanaya. So that was his mantra. You know, it's not that he should say to his guru, you know, that actually, yeah, I don't like this mantra so much. Would you give me the one, you know, the cool one, you know, Om Namo Shivaya or Om Namo Narayanaya? No, you've given the specific mantras by the guru. That's the cyclic succession to chant. I mean, that's initiation. You know, initiation means to hear the mantra. It doesn't mean that you just, like, join the club. You know, just like if you initiate. When I was in the university, you get initiated to join the fraternity. And their ritual for joining the fraternity was that you would take a keg of beer. Have you ever heard of this? And you just, like, open up the spout on it and just drink it. Many people died doing that, of course. You know, they actually had deaths. You know, initiation doesn't mean you join the unit, join something. It means you start something, but by hearing the mantra from the guru. So the mantra heard from the guru is very important. It has to be heard from someone who is actually a pure devotee, as Srila Prabhupada said. Then it has effect. So those are the required mantras. Required mantras means the mantras the guru has told you to chant. And then you chant the required mantras. The next principle here is in service. In other words, you're chanting to serve. Everything you're doing is to serve. You should be eating prasadam to serve, chanting to serve. Because what does the mantra mean? The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra means, please let me serve you. That's all. I mean, that's the meaning of the Hare, as far as I understand. My dear Lord, you know, energy of the Lord, that's the Prabhupada translated, oh, Radha, energy of the Lord in vocative form. Please let me serve you. So we're praying, you know, let me serve you. Let me become your servant. Not let me make money, or let me become a ritualistic Brahman, Dharma, Artha, you know, let me make money. Let me have sense gratification, you know, let me send me that perfect boy or girl or whatever. Anyway, so in service, and then finally, because I want to end, devotional mood. What is devotional mood? Devotional means basically desire to please. And then just finishing up that verse, Nyabhilashadashunyam jnanakarmanapritam anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhaktarutamam. That means doing what Krishna wants actively in a devotional way, according to Srila Rupa Goswami. And, you know, we confuse devotion with material love. Material love is actually not really devotion. It's more or less like an adrenaline rush or a... what is that other hormone that you get from snorting cocaine? Anyway, is there... What? There was another one that I was just talking about. Anyway, so it's more or less like an adrenaline rush. And you see, that's why people get addicted to falling in love, serial falling in love. In other words, they fall in love, and then 3 months later, I have a need to fall in love again. So it's like an addiction. It's like taking a drug, endorphins or, you know, whatever they're getting. So that's not love. Devotional mood is something that's really steady, desire to serve Krishna in an active way, according to Krishna, what Krishna wants. So anyway, if you fulfill all those requisites, you will see Krishna. It is guaranteed, as we mentioned before, because Prabhupada starts the statement with any devotee, right? You will see Krishna. It is guaranteed. Prabhupada has guaranteed it. I guarantee it, because Prabhupada has guaranteed it. Okay, and now we're going to see Krishna, see? There's no question about it, so we're going to see Krishna. So all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Jai Radha Galukananda.